Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight, I'm joined by Ray Doherty, and he is a Yowie researcher and used to be a very, very prolific UFO investigator back in the day. Ray, welcome to the show.
G'day, Cade. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Mate, it's great to have you on. We've been trying to tee this up for the longest time. I think you may have been one of the first people I ever contacted when I first started this podcast about a year and a half ago. And the stars just never aligned for us to line up for a chat. But I'm very happy. It's happened, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely happy as well that we've finally been able to do it after about a year and a half of trying. This is the problem when one's a daytime person like you are and I'm a night shift vampire, so to speak, that only comes out at night. So it's been very hard to line it up, that's for sure.
Well, mate, I'm very much looking forward to the chat tonight because you have had some of the most incredible Yowie encounters and some fantastic UFO investigation results. But I guess my first question for you would be is what actually got you into the UFO field? And I guess, was that a massive rabbit hole that you can kind of just get lost in?
Oh, I think that's putting it very mildly. I think it's a black hole that you can go down and few escape from. Certainly, what happened, what got me in, I mean, I always had an interest in the paranormal, shall we say. Growing up in my house, we had a couple of relatives pass away in our house. We're an Irish Catholic family, and back in the old days, we all lived in the same house. And we had a grandfather and a great aunt pass away. And from that point, things always happened in my house that you just simply, after a period of time, got used to. And my mum was into the whole psychic, tarot cards, tea reading. And so it was always around me. And I always had an interest in science fiction, and then from that it sort of expanded out to other things. When I was a kid, I used to sit out the front veranda at my house, and my grandfather used to say to me, he said, if you look at the sky long enough, eventually you'll see something you can't explain. And I always had an interest. And then of course what happened back in 1991 from memory, I saw a UFO, and It blew me away, and from that point on, I sort of am a very curious person by nature, so I just wanted to try and get to the bottom of it. And like I said, it's a rabbit hole if you go down, that can be all-consuming and can be very taxing, but by the same token, very rewarding, because if you if you do the work and you have an open mind and you certainly put yourself out there and give yourself the opportunity in the field to have experiences, you'll certainly have them.
Absolutely, mate. And that's one of the things that a lot of people probably don't realize is if you go searching for something and you find it, there's no going back from that.
No. The old expression, some things just sort of can't be unseen. And when you see one of these craft, just like yowies, when you see one, there's no real going back from it. And it presents people, in my experience, people give you one of two types of reactions. And this is down to experiences as well, whether it's UFO or yowies, is that they'll have one or two reactions. One, they'll be in total deniability. They'll struggle to process what they've seen, and they will basically completely drop their bundle and just not want anything to do with it, almost to the point of forgetting that it even happened. On the other hand, what it can also do is really trigger that spark of curiosity and wanting to know more. And it can, as someone described once, it can be really a bit of a golden door of enlightenment, but you've got to decide to go through that door in the first place. And if you do, you've got to tread carefully, because as you said, that if you don't, you can certainly be consumed by it 24/7, which nearly happened to me at certain stages as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not just me, but people I worked with and people I got to know, and it still happens to people today. You know, people that certainly still get into these fields, especially if it's based off an experience, you want to know more. You have this just driving quest for knowledge, and that you become addicted to it. And you could become addicted to the experiences, and you become addicted to the culture and to the subculture of it as well. It's very, very hard to stop and live a normal life once you know what's really... What things are really, really out there in the world, because the average person has no idea, and I think a lot of them don't want to know, and they certainly don't believe it if you told them.
No, not at all. And I get a lot of people who kind of give me little remarks of like, oh, you don't believe the people that come on your podcast, do you? And it's kind of like, well, actually, yeah, I do, because one, they don't really have any point to lie to me, and two, I kind of vet them as well as I can before I let anyone on the show, because there is a standard to the stories that I want people to share with the public, because
absolutely
it's all about getting someone's message out there or someone's experience out there that may help someone else. And I just don't want to let randoms on the show to come on here and tell fibs for the sake of, you know, having a laugh and saying, hey, I got on that podcast.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, you know, realistically trying to weed out the genuine experiences from, you know, people that want attention or want to make something up because they thought it would be funny, is very time consuming. But when you speak to a genuine experiencer, whether it be UFOs, paranormal, or yowies, it's a very, very powerful moment when you see the look in their eyes and hear the trembling in their voice, or they hear the excitement in their voice.
Yep.
From what they've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this first UFO encounter, that got you hooked on the UFO field. Was there anything in your findings through your research that kind of made you just 100% believe that this potentially could be outer world? Or do you have more of a down-to-earth type of mindset that UFOs may be something from Earth?
I'm a bit of a contradiction, because when it comes to UFOs, I have one opinion, but when it comes to the Yowie work, I'm extremely grounded in science. But with the UFO work that I used to do, it is very hard to because look, back then in the 90s, we didn't have any like the equipment that we have now. We didn't have handheld infrared cameras or FLIRs or things like that. That was the stuff the military had. The average person couldn't get a hold of that stuff. But that first encounter, when I saw it, there was no mistaking what it was. There was no mistaking what I saw. It was too big. It was too clear. It was, the whole event was, there was no mistaking it.
Are you able to tell me a little bit more about that first encounter? Because it sounds like it was quite an impressive one to leave such a mark on you.
Well, 1991, that's when it happened. And 91, it was December 1991, early December. And it was a Sunday night. And I can't remember the exact day, but it was a Sunday night. And I was with my girlfriend / fiance at the time. We were coming back from her sister's house. We had a house at Wilston in Newmarket. And we were coming back from her sister's house at Brookfield. And we were coming along. We just turned out of this Swan Street in Newmarket, heading up towards on Newmarket Road, coming up to Wilston Road. Now, in those days, flying in from the north, the flight path of aircraft would come in from the north and sort of over that northern area, and then it would sort of turn left towards the airport. And you know, you'd see planes come through that area all the time. But this was at midnight, and there was back then the last domestic flights usually came in around 10:30. Unlike tonight, you know, these days they come in at midnight and whatever and whatnot, and they certainly stood out as aircraft. And we're coming along. And as we approach it, because of the road, it goes up high and then dips down and goes back up high again. You can see I saw these lights coming in from the north along that, almost like that flight path. And I thought to myself, and I said to my partner at the time, I said, that's unusual. There shouldn't be flight planes at this time of night. And she said, oh, it's probably just a plane. And we were sort of on this intersecting course. And when I saw it, got closer, I said, we saw two lights. There was no nav lights, no headlights. It was just two lights. And as it got closer, there was, I still even today find it very hard to believe I saw what I saw. And the long and the short of it is that there was a disc. It was a disc that was monstrously huge in proportion. And again, people are going to find this hard to believe. I still have to pinch myself that it happened, that it was above, it was paralleling the train line, the Newmarket train line, from Wilston Station towards Newmarket Station. And I effectively saw what looked like a giant disc that was, in my estimation, 150, 200 meters in diameter.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
And it had lights underneath it. I could see like windows and lights. I couldn't see anything in it. And it had, I couldn't see the top of it, but the bottom of it was like a concave shape. And then it had almost like a three black bands above it on the top. Which looked flat, and then you had the concave down bottom down to the point, and the lights were from the bottom concave point pointing up over the saucer section. And I could not believe what we saw. We sort of stopped dead in the middle of the road, and this thing was just moving silently. It was fairly low. It was only, I would even say, 200-300 feet off the ground.
Wow, that's so close.
It was crazy, and my partner started freaking out. She was saying, like, what the F is that? What is that? That's not an aircraft. And I said, and I'm, you know, expletives everywhere from both sides. And because I'm just getting goosebumps talking about it even now. And then we headed up Newmarket Road very, very slowly. But I got a crystal clear look at it. And there was no denying what it was. And then it's sitting around about 150, 200 feet, maybe a little bit higher. And then it comes to a stop. And I said, and she goes, where are you going? I said, we've got to have a look at this. And as we approached it, and it was probably, you know, 150, 200 meters ahead of it, as we approached it, suddenly this wind, just this wind picked up everywhere, right? It just picked up everywhere, just this like almost cyclonic wind for about a 50, 60 meter period. And then we got up right up underneath it in the car, and it was, I got out of the car, and before I got out of the car, she said, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I have to have a look at this thing. I just have to have a look at it. But the interesting thing was, what happened is when I got out from underneath it, it was like instantly there was no sound. There was no wind. There was no sound.
Like you're in a vacuum.
Yes. And she was screaming at me, and I couldn't hear her. And I'm screaming at her, and she couldn't hear me.
Oh, wow.
I could see her mouth going, but I couldn't hear a word. And this thing went right over the top, and it had settled above a place called Finsbury Park. And it just was sitting above that Finsbury Park. And as it moved off, slowly I could start to hear sound come back, and then that wind, that really, really strong wind. And then I got back in the car, and then I looked at her, and she's off, like off a chain, and I don't know what to think. I'm just blown away. And then I look back over towards it, and it's gone.
That's incredible. That's an absolutely amazing experience there, Ray.
And that was the first time I saw one.
I do not blame you for being taken hook, line, and sinker down the UFO rabbit hole after that, because I think anyone would be with an experience like that.
Well, it was back in 1991. Brisbane was a much different place then, and to say you saw an object that big over a suburb, inner north Brisbane, in the suburbs, was absolutely mind blowing, and it was, you met with instant skepticism, of course, except from those who already believed. And then over the years, then, you know, in other cities around the world, you're seeing sightings of large craft in cities, over cities, in the suburbs of cities. So then I started to feel a little bit more normal as time went on. But I never really told many people about it, because the interesting thing, what happened is the next day I woke up fully energized. I said, man, I've got to speak to somebody about this. I've got to tell them what I saw. I rang the Air Force. No, we don't, got nothing to do with us. And I got sent over to Amberley, and then I got shoved around from phone to phone to phone. And then eventually I got one bloke who just laughed at me. He said, no, mate, we've got nothing was on the radar. You must have been having a few too many drinks.
Oh, how frustrating.
But the interesting thing is my girlfriend at the time had zero memory of it.
Really? That is weird.
The next morning she goes, I don't know what, she said, we saw a plane. We didn't see anything else. I said, are you kidding me? She goes, I said, don't you remember me stopping and having a look and we couldn't hear each other? I remembered everything perfectly. And she said, no, we just drove home. We saw an aircraft that was flying very low, and then we came home.
Do you think that she's making that up because she just cannot comprehend what she saw? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Well, to be honest, things between us at that time weren't that great. And I don't know whether she didn't want to fan my fire or what, but certainly at the time, I believed her. She seemed genuine to me that she didn't remember it at all.
It would be incredibly spooky if that was the case, because that kind of just adds this whole other layer of weirdness to that whole situation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And from that point on, from that day on, it only got weirder from then on.
What do you mean by that?
Well, some of the things that happened to us since. I was with... In 1994, particularly 1994, that was one of the years where Brisbane recorded its highest number of UFO sightings ever. There was a UFO sighting, and anyone can Google this. You can do a Trove search, and you can type in UFO sightings Brisbane 1994, and you'll see like a sighting almost every week. In the paper, there was a report almost every week. Now, as the year went on, the sightings numbers were so high that some of them were fake. You know, the old fire starter with the garbage bag.
Yeah, like a Chinese lantern type of thing.
Yeah. People put that up, and when it catches the wind and they put four or five of them, they tend to hold their position pretty well and move pretty quick. And then from a distance, you don't know what it is until you get close to it and you can see. And there was a lot of that going on, particularly towards the back end. But there was some very, very big sightings. And in that particular year, I was with a group of people, a research group that I was just a member of. We had a night watch out at Wivenhoe Dam, and we saw something, and that became a bit of hunting ground for me. It was also known for ball lightning, and the Wivenhoe Dam area back then was just known for a whole bunch of weird stuff. And from give an example of the sort of weirdness that sort of went on from that point on for me in terms of the experiences we had, there's three that really sort of stand out that happened in the next few years after that. One was, I took a friend of mine who's now deceased out there. We said, not long after the experience, we went out to Wivenhoe Dam. I said, you've got to come out with me one night. And I said, I've got to take you to there and see it. Let's see if we can see what we can see. You know, see if, and this was only a couple of days after that event that happened the week before. And we're driving along in my car. At that time, I had a 1988 Nissan Bluebird TRX and a 5-speed manual. And I'll tell you why that's important in a sec. Is we're coming along, and we're coming up to... We just left Fernvale, and we're heading up towards the dam wall. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning. And we saw these two lights appear in the back of the window. Now we're driving north up on Fernvale Road towards Somerset, and these lights got closer, but they weren't like car lights. They were like illuminated lights. Glowing from within, not like car lights where they shine a light out.
Yeah, not projecting type of lights.
That's right. They were like, it was self-illuminated inside.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And they were like, they weren't round either. They were almost like egg-shaped. Like, and I looked back in the mirror and I could see like these two egg shapes just glowing like a white hot brightness, but not, I mean, we could bright enough to see them, but they weren't projecting any light. And as these things started getting closer, and my friend's looking at him. He's looking at him in the back, and he's going, holy crap, look at this. What is this? Is it a motorbike? Is it a truck? And I said, man, it's not a truck. And I said, look, it's not giving off any light. And this thing, they started pacing. It started getting closer to us. So I started kicking up through the gears. And that's why it's important to tell you I had a manual car, the one that went pretty quick at that time. Every time I increased the speed, it increased speed. And it kept closing on us. I took the car up to 186 kilometers an hour, and it's still gaining on us. And the next thing I know is that these things are coming right up on us, and the next time I see, like, the cabin of the car fills with white, and the next thing I know, I wake up, and we're in the car, and we're on the other side of the road.
You're kidding.
No.
You had a missing time experience.
Well, we don't know how much time because we didn't pay attention to what the time was. I mean, we knew we had it out there about one, but I had no idea what time it was when we got there. But all I can tell you is that the car was parked on the other side of the road, so we're heading back the way we came on a hill, and we were both out cold. We both had headaches like you wouldn't believe. We just thought, what the hell happened? We could not reconcile. So I said, what do you remember, Reg? And he says, well, I just remember the cabin filled with a white light. And next thing I know, we're in the car on the other side of the road.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
What do you think happened there? Do you think you were abducted?
To be honest, what I learned, Kay, is that, look, this was a long time ago, so I've had a long time to think about it. If you sit there, if you're an overthinker, if anyone's an overthinker out there and you overthink it, whether it's, you know, a personal thing, a work thing, whatever it is, you can do your head in with overthinking. And we had so much stuff going on in a short space of time, not only just me. See, this is where I got my thing with the Owies about, right, where I don't go out alone. I go out with at least one other person. And the reason we do that is for a witness. It's for someone to corroborate your story.
Yeah, great idea.
Right? So that's why I always went out there. But I'll tell you something, what happened 2 weeks after that is that a very close friend of mine who is still alive, who is an ex-police officer from your neck of the woods, he didn't believe, he was very, very skeptical. So him and his wife went out there with their little daughter in the back of the car for a drive one Sunday night, the following Sunday night. And they saw a ball, a purple ball, sitting above the trees, above the forest, with a light projecting down into the forest. They saw the light go back up into the craft, and then they just heard a crack, and then it was gone.
Wow. What are the odds of that?
Man, it was, like I said, it wasn't just happening to me. This is what I'm saying. It was happening to people around me and people I met and people I knew. It was just like the whole city, there was stuff going on everywhere at that time. And it seemed to peak for whatever reason in 1994. But of course, I met people that are very, you know, just some of these experiences that I met, and they were genuine stories, because when you look someone in the eye and you can see the terror in their face, you can see the goosebumps come up on their skin. I mean, I just couldn't. I got to a point in the mid to late 90s, about 97, I had to stop thinking about it because it was just doing my head in. It was, if you try to make sense of what you see and try to understand what you see, it'll just do your head in. Sometimes you just have to say, okay, that happened, and try to assimilate it into your brain slowly, bit by bit. Because we just had, as I said, we had so much other stuff going on with other people we know experiencing things. It was just mind-blowing. And that also led us to the first Yowie encounter in 94, just sort of west of Rosewood, out near a place called Mount Walker.
So you were out searching for UFOs and you ran into a Yowie?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And we didn't expect to see them out there. We'd heard stories about them. We'd sort of heard the signs, the smells, and the screams. And the scream that we heard that night, because a year after that, I had the experience which people may have seen when I was on Finding Bigfoot, where I was sleeping in a car, and I got attacked by one in a car. And
what do you mean you got attacked by it?
Well, I thought you knew that story because a lot of people know that story. We were out there at this particular property and we had all of our telescopes and we're having a night watch, right? And I'm 6'4" and I'm a snorer. I always have been from when I was young. So they said to me, and we were at a property which is in the middle of this national park. It was a pastoral lease, and friend of ours was the caretaker who was in the house, and we went out there sky watching, and they said, "No, you snore, you're in the car," and it started raining, And I thought, it's 3:30 in the morning, and I was just along and sitting there, and then suddenly something came up, started grunting and growling and started rocking the car. And next thing I know, I'm getting thrown around inside the car. I thought it was my friends. I'm kicking my window. I'm screaming at them, profanities everywhere. And then suddenly I see the light. I see a light come on. We used to use these half a million or 2 million candle power handheld halogen spotties. And next thing I know, I see one of them turned on and being shone around. And I just hear this thing roar. And then I'm giving you the short version here because we're short on time, but I'm giving you the short version. But my friends shoo this thing off with the spotty. And in the morning, as dawn broke and the rain was there, I saw these two giant foot impressions, and my roof of my car was bent in, and I had a cut eye and a busted up my shoulder a bit because I'd been thrown around inside the back of that same car, that same Nissan Bluebird.
Far out. That's incredible, mate, because...
So this is what I've told you. I mean, like, for some reason, there are people that in this world, and I'm not the only one. There's hundreds of thousands, millions of people like this that just tend to attract this sort of stuff.
Absolutely. I agree with you with that 100%.
And I haven't spoken about any of my UFO encounters for well over 20 years.
Wow. Well, Ray, I want to thank you for sharing those with me because those are incredible. I can't get over that Yowie attack. That's that would have been absolutely terrifying, mate.
I just said for a long time, though, during it, I thought it was my friends just having fun at my expense and just getting out there and rocking the car. But I knew when I heard this, when the roof started to pop in and then I heard this roar, I then knew it wasn't my friends.
Were you a Yowie believer before that?
Well, I had no opinion because we'd never encountered one before the 1994 incident. Pretty sure it was 94 incident where we were out stargazing at this place, as I said, out near Mount Walker. And we had the telescopes out, and then we just, first of all, the wind caught up, and the smell, which was just this terrible smell, and then this God unearthly scream, and there was four of us there around the car with our telescope, and we all looked at each other, and one of them said, "Could that be a Yowie?" And I said, "Is that the sign, like the smell and the scream?" He goes, "Yes." And then another one of my friend's young son who was with us, who was about 12 at the time, little Stevie, he had the halogen spotty, and he said, "What's that?" And we saw these big eyes, about 50 or so plus meters in the distance, in this field. And they were weird because one minute they're red, then they're green, then they're yellow it was turning its head, whatever it was, to avoid the torch. And then it stood up. And then, having known about lights in a distance, so when you see eyes and things like that, and then you see it move up, you can quickly calculate how high this thing was. And it was like 7-8 foot tall. And it started walking towards us. So we just literally said, "We're out of here." We just threw everything in the car and just bolted.
I don't blame you.
And then, because I was driving. And then we got about 4 or 5 k's down the road, and I said, "We should go back and have a look." and then they said, no, just go. So we drove into the nearest town, which I don't even remember where that was. And we got a coffee, and we all just sort of calming down a bit. And I said, "Come on, let's go back for another look." So we drove back. And, there was nothing there, but we weren't hanging around.
Mate, that's incredible. Did the guys who had the spotlight, did they see this creature at all?
I think little Stevie did, because he just said, "Let's go, Dad, let's go." Because my other friend, Big Steve, who was his dad, little Steve's going, "Dad, let's go, go, come on, Dad, we've got to go. And like kids would do, and then we're going, "What?" And then we just see these big eyes at this height moving towards us from where we were standing.
And was that?
We said, no, we're out of here. We're out of here. Just threw the computers, threw everything in the telescopes, everything, just threw it in the boot, hopped in the car and just took off.
And was that after this thing was shaking the car?
No, this was a year before.
Oh, okay. So did any of the guys see what was shaking your car when they came out with the spotlights?
They said that if at first they thought, does that look like a bear? And I said, and of course, we don't have bears in this country, big bears like that. And they just said it was just the most ungodly thing they've seen. And they just said it had to be Yowie. It's the only thing it could be.
Wow.
And the one who was most shaken about, the one who saw it, was a guy called Carl. And because Carl lived there, and he goes, I've lived here for 12 months, and I've never, ever, ever, ever seen that. And then, I kid you not, a month later, Carl moved out. Because I just didn't think he wanted to hang around there anymore. I mean, we never went back. I mean, I know exactly, I remember exactly where it was. But I've never been back there ever since. That was, what, 95.
That's incredible. It seems like you're almost a beacon for this type of activity. And, you know, like we were saying before, some people are selected for this type of life.
I call them magnets, you know, and whether it be this or these sort of physical encounters or experiences, or whether they be psychic encounters, or whether they be spiritual or even possibly maybe demonic encounters. But for some reason, there's lots of people. And as I said, I'm only one person. There's millions of people that continually have these experiences, and there's in the area I know of in Brisbane, I know at least 20 people like that that just continually have these experiences. Some people have only ever had the one experience. Others have continually had them on a daily basis, or at least a weekly basis. This is what I mean. This is what I mean. Like I said before, Kate, if people really knew what really goes on in the real world, I don't think anyone would ever leave their house, let alone that's if they believed it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, I think a lot of people do believe this type of stuff. They just don't really lend into it.
I mean, you can only go on what you see. And there was an interesting, I can't remember if it was an article I was reading recently, where... I think it was a podcast I was listening to on Coast to Coast, I think. And I had this psychologist, and he was talking about that, for example, I think it was a psychologist, and what they were talking about is how people perceive what they see and what their brain tells them could be something completely different. So, for example, if they were to say, saw a UFO, right, that their subconscious brain can't physically process seeing a UFO, so they may are convinced they saw a plane. Instead, somehow the brain protects the person by commuting the experience into something that they actually can process.
100%. I actually encountered this only recently with my wife. I was out in the backyard and I saw a genuine UFO over the horizon, and it was doing these movements that no plane could do. And I called my wife out because I was like, surely I am not seeing what I'm seeing right now, because... It just kind of fits my paradigm way too well. So I had to get someone else to kind of vindicate what I was seeing. And she saw exactly the same thing that I saw. And in her mind, that's 100% a drone that you're looking at. And there's nothing that you can say is going to change my mind on that.
Exactly. I mean, some people I've known who I've been with have seen a Yowie, and then the next day they go, no, we never saw anything. Or, no, we saw a kangaroo. And... they saw it point blank, like clear as day. There's no it was daytime. There's no issue about what they saw. But their brain has said, no, it's a kangaroo. Or no, we saw nothing. It's just how the brain copes as a mechanism, and how you assimilate the experience into your knowledge and into your brain. And for a lot of people, it's a big struggle.
Absolutely it is. And I hear it all the time with guests on our podcast here. They'll share their experience with someone and they just flat out refuse to acknowledge it or believe it.
Exactly. And I think that's been one big thing with experiences that's been misunderstood for such a long time, is that we always assume people don't want to talk about their experiences because they're fear of ridicule, and certainly that's part of it. But the real big thing is, I think a lot of it, is that I think they don't even believe what they actually saw. And like I said to you at the start of this, I consistently, when I've had experiences and I think back about it, I actually have to pinch myself to remind myself that actually did occur.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're spot on there. It's some of these things, they're just not supposed to exist. And when you see them, the whole world changes after that.
Well, I think the whole world is changing, and I think the whole world's going to change a lot more in the next few years. No, I don't mean just because of COVID. I mean because of what's happening in the UFO field with the soft disclosure that's going on. When the US Pentagon actually comes out and says, yes, we've got craft that's not from this world, that wasn't made here, I think that's going to change everyone's attitudes very quickly, and that time's coming very, very soon.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Ray. I think you're spot on there. I think we're only a few short years away from full disclosure, and that's just in the UFO field. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more disclosure in other fields, let alone the Yowie field, the Bigfoot field, the paranormal field. I think we're gonna be living in a very, very open and crazy world very shortly.
Oh, most definitely. And the things that are coming down the pipeline, if you've been involved or in these experiences or in this field for a long time, and you've seen how it's developed over the decades, and you can feel it, something's coming.
That's right.
And I just hope we're ready for it.
Yeah, I hope we are too, Ray. It's something that I think is going to really rock a lot of people's worlds, and you know, some people will be ready and some people won't. That's just how it's going to go, I think.
It's going to challenge everyone's beliefs and ideals and perceptions. That's for sure.
For sure, for sure. Well, Ray, mate, I think I'm going to have to get you on again to chat about Yowies with you, mate, because we didn't really get to touch on that. And I know that's something that we wanted to. So, mate, I'm putting an invite there for you. If you want to come back on and talk about Yowies, it's the offer's always there.
Sure, anytime, Kate. It's not a problem, as long as we can make the stars line up, as you said.
Absolutely, mate. And before I let you go, you do have a podcast of your own, so do you want to share that with the listeners?
Oh, thank you very much, Kate. Yes, it's CryptoCast, CryptoCast Australia, Mystery Radio on YouTube and Facebook. Wherever you get your podcasts, also iTunes, Spotify. We have two podcasts. We have CryptoCast Tales from the Past, where I read and discuss stories from the newspapers of yesteryear, whether they be the first five episodes are all Yowie. And then, of course, we've done a Bunyip special, and we've just recently brought out a UFO special. And, of course, in interviews with some of the world's best cryptozoologists, with people like Gary Opet, Buck Buckingham, Cliff Barrett, Ben and Bobo, of course, people from Finding Bigfoot, plus a lot more to come. So, well, it's only been around for a few months, and we're growing, so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to give it a plug.
Absolutely, mate. I think you do a really fantastic job. So anyone who listens to this, definitely head over there, check out Ray's podcast. He does a really, really good job. So, and I tell you what, I am secretly jealous of some of the guests that you've had on that show already. I'm thinking, oh, how did this guy get them?
So, well, I would have loved to have talked to Moorhead. I'm pretty jealous about that too, so... You know, Ron Moorhead, I said to you, I've listened to your interviews with him, and they were excellent interviews, and he just has so much information over such a, you know, like nearly a 50-year career, you know, from the Sierra Sounds to now. And, you know, these are things, people that are iconic in the field, and, you know, to get to speak to someone like Ron Moorhead, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was certainly a treat. He's a very lovely gentleman. And look, Ray, what I'll do is I'll also include all the links to your podcast in the show notes for this episode, so people don't really have to go too far to find it.
Well, thank you, Kate. I really, really appreciate that, mate. That's very kind of you, so thank you very much.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.